Daf Beis Amud Aleph of Maseches Kiddushin. Ha'isha, says the Mishnah, Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim. A woman can be acquired, not purchased. That is not the word to use. A woman can be acquired in three ways, which means that a couple can be married in one of three ways. But the type of marriage that we're talking about, since this is Maseches Kiddushin, is the first step of marriage. Kiddushin, not Nisuin. How does one make Kiddushin happen? Three ways. Shalosh Drachim. The first daf of this Masechta is going to be entirely focused on those four words. Ha'isha, Niknes, B'Shalosh Drachim. It's very unusual Gemara that we have in the first daf of this Masechta, because normally the Gemara is interested in the logic, what's the reason for the Mishnah, what are these Tanaim arguing about. You don't have any of that in the first daf. What you have in the first half of this Masechta is very technically, why did we choose this word as opposed to another word? Why is it formulated in the passive as opposed to the active? Very unusual Gemara. So the Gemara is going to focus on each of these words individually. Why does it say about the woman? In order to get married, you don't just need a woman, you need a man and a woman. Why aren't we talking about the man? Niknes, is that really the way you want to say you got married? Niknes? Kinyan? Isn't there a better word you could use? Like Kiddushin? After all, that is the name of the Masechta. Bishalosh. Is Shalosh really how you say the number three? You're like, yeah, Shalosh is how you say it. But there's also Shlosha. That's how you say the number three. Why is it Shalosh? Drachim. What does drachim imply? That we adopt, use the term drachim in terms of describing the methods of kiddushin. So that's going to be what the entire daf beis is about. Amud alvan amud beis is going to be about the choice of those four words. Not the most exciting daf in all of Shas, I have to tell you up front. It's not going to be the most exciting gemara in the world. It's a very technical gemara in terms of that. Ha'isha niknes b'sholos drachim. A woman can be acquired in three ways. I don't know why the mark is not working. Vekona es atzma b'shtei drachim. So you should put a comma after drachim. Vekona es atzma b'shtei drachim. And she can acquire herself back in two ways. There are two ways that she can acquire herself back, that she can become unmarried. So what are these ways? Niknes b'kesef b'shtar u'bebiyah. The three ways that she could be acquired, that marriage can be created, is kesef, with money, shtar, with a document, and bia, with marital relations. Now, how much money does it take to create kiddushin? So, bekesef, when it comes to kesef, beishamai omrin, beishamai says, bedinar, either use a coin called a dinar, ubishave dinar, or something that's of equal value to a dinar. So if, let's say, for argument's sake, a dinar were $5, you can either give a $5 bill, or you would be allowed to give five things also, but you can even anything that's valued at least a dinar, so you can give this gemara. This gemara is worth $20, it's more than a dinar, you can give that for kiddushin. Anything that's worth $5 or more, anything that's worth a dinar, I'm assuming, I'm just giving that as an example, I don't know how much a dinar is actually worth. Ubeisilil omrim bepruta ubeshava pruta. Beisilil says, no, you don't need a dinar, even a pruta. A pruta is a tiny copper coin. It's a couple of pennies worth. It's worth very, very little. All you need to create kiddushin is a pruta or a shava pruta, something that is worth a pruta. Now, it happens to be, we paskin, whenever there's machlokes v'sham beisilil, we paskin like beisilil. So because we pass like Beisilil, you will hear, if you pay attention at a wedding, the Masada Kiddushin will usually, if he's doing his job, will usually ask the witnesses. He'll take the ring that the man wants to use for Kiddushin, and he'll ask the witnesses, does this look like it's worth a pruta? And they will acknowledge that, yes, it looks like it's worth a pruta. If Rabbi Bildad is one of the witnesses, he will say, even by five-town standards, that looks like it's worth a pruta. He makes the same joke at every wedding. That is what they will say, that it is worth a pruta, and then you can go ahead and have the kiddushin. So, the pruta, ube shave pruta. The kamahi pruta, how much is a pruta actually worth? Oh, okay. How much is a pruta actually worth? Let me make this point. It's recording. It's recording. Yeah. Kamehi pruta, how much is a pruta actually worth? Echad mishmona b'isar he'italki. It's worth 1/8. Thank you. It's worth 1/8 of an Italian coin, of an Italian isar. An isar is a type of coin. That's how much a pruta is actually worth. Echad mishmona b'isar he'italki. So that is how a woman and a man have kiddushin. Kesef, shtar, and bia. Once I was finished the Mishnah, the kones atzma, and she can regain her independence. I like that translation. Kones atzma, she can regain her independence from her husband, beget, either by the husband giving her a get, ubemisas habal, or by the husband dying. Those are the two ways she can regain her independence. Period. That's the first part of the Mishnah, how Kiddushin's created and how Kiddushin is destroyed, how Kiddushin ends. Now we move on to a Yevama, a woman whose husband died and they don't have any kids and the husband had a brother. Hayevama nikneis bebia. A Yevama can only be acquired in one way, and that is bia. V'kona es atzma v'chalitza v'misas hayavam. But she can regain her independence so that she'll be allowed to marry whoever she wants, either through chalitza, the whole procedure with the shoe that the woman's got to do to the brother of her husband, or by her husband's brother, no, not her own shoe, or by the husband's brother dying. Misas hayavam. Those are the two ways that she's kona es atzma. So two main points over here. Summarize the Mishnah in two sentences. Sentence number one is, and write this down on the side of your Gemara somewhere. Main point number one: three ways to do Kiddushin, two ways to end Kiddushin. It's actually one main point. One way to acquire Yevama, and two ways to end it. So again, three ways to do Kiddushin, two ways to end a marriage, one way to acquire Yevama, and two ways to end it. And obviously, in your own mind, you should be able to fill in what those ways are, what those different things are. Now, these are all the halachas in the Mishnah. We're not going to discuss in the Gemara for a while any of these halachas. What we're going to discuss in the Gemara, like I mentioned before, is the first four words of this Masechta, and just why the Mishnah chose these words. So if we were to number, I forgot the markers aren't working, if we were to number these words, 1, 2, 3, 4, which one do you think we're going to talk about first? You would think we'd talk about one first. I would have thought that also. That is not what we talk about first for some reason. First we talk about word number 2, then we talk about word number 1, then we talk about word number 3, and that leads us into word number 4. So it's strange. I don't know why. The Gemara starts by saying, Niknes, that's a weird word to use. Ha'isha Niknes, Maishna Hacha Ditani Ha'isha Niknes. Why is it different over here where it says Ha'isha Niknes? That's how we describe marriage happening. If you were to flip your Gemaras to anywhere in the second parak, on the top of every page in the second parak, it says the name of the second parak. The second parak starts 40 blot into the Masechta, so flip your Gemaras a lot. Find the top of any page in the second parak, in Parak Sheni. And what does it say for the name of the parak on the top of any page in the second parak? Ha'ish Mekadesh. It says Ha'ish Mekadesh. So what's that describing? Ha'ish Mekadesh? It's also describing getting married. So the words Ha'ish and Niknes describe getting married, and the words Ha'ish Mekadesh describe getting married. But those are different. They're different in two ways. Our parak talks about the woman. Second parak talks about the man. But also, our parak talks about Isha Niknes, a Kenyan. The second parak talks about an Ish Mekadesh. We're focused on that second difference now. Maishna Hacha. Why over here, the Tani, does the Mishnah teach Ha'isha Niknes? Does it use the term Kenyan? And why in the second parak does it use the word mikadesh? Question mark. Answers the Gemara. Mishum de kabay le misni kesef. The reason our Mishnah wants to use the word niknes, kinyan, sounds so cold, it sounds so business-like. You know why our Mishnah does that? Because our Mishnah is going to talk about using money. It talks about a dinar and a pruta and using money. So when you talk about using money, the appropriate term to use is niknes. The second parak is not going to talk about money. The second parak is about shlichus, it's about different topics entirely. So there we talk about kiddushin. But because it says kesef, the kesef minalan, how do we know, just by the way, that kiddushin could even be created with kesef? Which isn't really our topic. Rashi points out right away, kesef minalan, lav hacha kabayla. It's not really over here that we should be asking this question, or that we even are asking this question. We just happen to mention it parenthetically. How do we know that you can make kiddushin with kesef? Gamar kicha kicha miste Ephron. You all know what that means. Gamar, we learn kicha kicha miste Ephron. What does that mean? Kicha kicha miste Ephron. Yonah. Excellent. That we have kicha kicha miste Ephron, just like by buying the Maris HaMachpelah, the word kach is used, and it's describing a transference of money. So to by kiddushin, the word kach is used in some form, yikach is used, and it, therefore it must be telling us that you're allowed to use money. That's kicha kicha miste Ephron. The Gemara spells it out. Ksif hacha, it says over here, what's here? By marriage, good. Ki yikach ish isha, quotes around those words, because that's a quote from pasuk. Ki yikach ish isha. It says over here in the pasuk. Ki yikach ish isha. Key word being yikach. Uksefasam, and it says over there, what's there? By Ephron, by the Maris HaMachpelah. Again, quotes. Nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni. Nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni. And that's describing the transaction of buying Maris HaMachpelah. And it says kach over there. So that's where we know that you can be Mekadesh Nisha with kesef. That was all a parenthetical note, because that's not really our discussion. We don't care about how we know that you can acquire Nisha with kesef right now. What's our conversation about? Our conversation is not about how we know kesef condition. What's our conversation really about over here?
Why?
Why what?
Why we can use money.
No, that's not really our conversation.
Why was the
right. Our real focus is this word, niknes. Why are we talking about kinyanim? We should talk about kiddushin. It's so much more romantic. Why are we talking about kinyanim, acquiring, a cold acquisition? What is this? So the answer is because we're talking about money. Once we mention that we're talking about money, we mention where the idea of using money for kiddushin is about. But since we're talking about money, the Gemara goes back to our originally scheduled program. V'kicha ikri kinyan. Kicha, when you use the word kicha, yikach, that's called a kinyan. That's a kinyan. We call it a kinyan in the Torah. Where do we ever have the word yikach being called a kinyan? Dechsiv, another quote from a pasuk, hasada asher kana Avraham. We described Avraham being kach, the sada, and now we have another pasuk that says hasada asher kana Avraham. So what does that tell you? Kach equals kana, kinyan. So why do we use the word niknes? Because we're talking about money. And we're talking about kicha. Says the Gemara further, inami, or if you want another pasuk that tells you that kesef and kinyan fit together, another pasuk quotes, sados pa kesef yiknu, end quote. Sados pa kesef yiknu. So because of all that, tani ha'isha niknes. That's why it says ha'isha niknes. You have just completed your first amud of Maseches Kiddushin. Main point number two. We use the term niknes rather than kiddushin because kinyan is a more appropriate term to use for kesef, for money. We use the word niknes rather than kiddushin because kinyan is the more appropriate term to use when describing money. Now the Gemara says, okay, but why is it ha'isha? Why not ha'ish? Meaning, we finished discussing the second word of the Masechta. Now we have to discuss the first word of the Masechta. So says the Gemara, v'nisni hasam ha'ish kone. Why don't we say over there ha'ish kone? Meaning, instead, if we're going to, I'm sorry, this is not the second word yet. We're asking that if you're going to say kinyan is appropriate over here, why isn't the word kinyan appropriate in the second parak? Let it say a ish kone. Answers the Gemara, me ikara tani lishna da oraisa, ulubisov tani lishna drabana. Our parak wants to use the Torah's terminology, and the Torah's terminology is kinyan. The second parak likes to use the rabbi's terminology. And the way the rabbis describe marriage is not with kinyan. How do the rabbis describe marriage? Kiddushin. So you're right. Kinyan makes sense from a Torah perspective, because the Torah talks about kach and kinyan. That makes sense from a Torah perspective. But the second parak wants to shift into the way the Rabbanan refer to marriage, and they refer to it as kiddushin. Umayishna lishna drabanan. I'm sorry, umay lishna drabanan. Why do the Rabbanan call it kiddushin? Kiddushin is a weird word to use to describe marriage also. What does kiddusha mean? Kiddusha is holiness, separate, distinct. So why would we call marriage kiddushin? Answers the Gemara, da asar la akule alma kehegdish. The woman becomes usher to the whole world like hegdish is usher. Hegdish is an important concept. Let's circle that one. What does hegdish mean? Something that you make, that you consecrate to belong to the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to benefit from. The woman becomes usher to the whole world like Hegdish. Period. That is the end, even though I said it before, that is really the end of the discussion of the second word of our Masechta. Now the Gemara moves on to the first word of our Masechta. Let's go just another couple of lines. V'nisni hacha ha'ish kone. Why do we talk about Ha'isha over here? Over here it should talk about, I understand why you want to use the word Kinyan, I'm okay with that. But don't talk about the Isha being Niknes, talk about the man being Kona. Say Ha'ish Kona over here. What does over here mean? Our Mishnah. Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, Mishum de Kabay Lemisna Seifa V'Kona Es Atzma Bedida. Since the end of our Mishnah wants to talk about the woman regaining her independence, so it wants to talk about from her perspective, Tana Nami Reisha Bedida. The Reisha also talks about from her perspective. That's why we introduce this Mishnah from the perspective of the woman. So says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. The woman gaining her independence, that could happen from, you could describe that from the man's perspective also. You don't have to describe, oh, she received a get. You could talk about the husband giving her a get. So that's not a satisfactory answer. V'nisni ha'ish kone umakne. Just say in our Mishnah, everything from the man's perspective, how he acquires the wife, and how he gives her back her independence. So does a man always give his wife back her independence? There's one way that the marriage ends where the man's not giving her her independence. If he dies. Mishum di'ika misas habal. One way she regains her independence is the husband dying. Delav ihu kamakni. He's not giving her her independence. Min shamayahu demakni la. It's from heaven that she's getting her independence, meaning God makes the guy die. So that's why we have to always describe it from the perspective of the woman. Because no matter whether it's God giving it to her or her husband giving it to her, she's getting her independence. So that's why our Mishnah talks about Ha'isha. So answer number one, why does our Mishnah talk about the woman's perspective? Because we want to talk about her regaining her independence, and that can only be described from the woman's perspective. Answer number two, and this will be the final thing we do for today, for the kiyus today. V'i b'yaseima, second possible answer, itana kone, if it would have described the man doing the acquiring, hava amina afilu bal karcha. I might have thought you could even do it against the woman's will. That a man could go up to a random woman and say, "Hare Amagdesli," and throw a ring at her, and that's it. Now she's his. Against her will. So that's why Tana, Ha'isha Niknes. The Mishnah say, no, it doesn't work that way. Ha'isha Niknes. She has to submit to the Kiddushin. Dimidaita in, Shalomidaita lo. It has to be with her das. It works with her das, not without her das. Okay, that's under 20 minutes, just under 20 minutes, a hair under 20 minutes. But let's get the main point over here. The main point is, we say a lashon of kiddushin in the second perek, because it's the lashon of the Rabbanan. That's the first main point on Amud Beis. And the second main point on Amud Beis, two reasons we don't say ha'ish kone in terms of the husband. Two reasons why we don't talk about the husband being kone. And what are those two reasons? Or we don't say about the husband being kona. What we talk about haisha rather than talking about haish, we talk about haisha. What are the two reasons, Yitzi?
One, because
good. So one is because we want to talk about her regaining her independence, which can only be spoken about from her perspective. And you explained why very nicely. And the other reason?
She has to do with her knowledge. The husband can't just stand right now.
Good. We want to emphasize that she needs to be a willing participant. We want to emphasize that you need her to agree to Kiddushin. Can't do it against her will. She needs to be a willing participant. Midaita in, shalom midaita la. Okay.